G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 51. So today I'm thrilled to be joined by Marilyn Passmore, and Marilyn is originally from Canada and immigrated to the United States at a younger age and now resides in West Michigan. And Marilyn is a very inspiring member of the international intermittent fasting community, and her journey so far with intermittent fasting has truly been remarkable and amazing. Not only the weight loss, but also the non-scale victories or the NSVs that we talk about in this lifestyle. So here to tell us all about that today is Marilyn. Oh, g'day, Marilyn. Welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Graham. It's a pleasure to be here. I've followed your story for a long time and love your book. You're inspiring, so it's really an honor to be with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. So Marilyn, what we might do is if we could start off with a bit of your backstory and problems you had with weight in your life or anything like that, and what actually led you up to finding intermittent fasting and how you got started with it.
Thanks, Graham. Well, I actually was a really healthy kid, very active, healthy through most of my life, and I'm 57, and really I had some health issues that started for me in my 40s with a low functioning thyroid, perimenopause and menopause, and just, you know, a copious amounts of chronic stress. And so that resulted in about a 50 pound weight gain over a number of years. I'm only 5'2", so that's a lot of weight to pack onto a small frame. And I had done, you know, all the mainstream diets, all the what I call supermarket diets, right? The things you read about as you're checking out at the grocery. I tried keto, you know, counting points, low carb shakes, diet pills, measuring, prepackaged, and all of those things, including even cutting out certain food groups. And, you know, I feel like you name it, I tried it. And they were all pretty much terrible and not sustainable. And so that's what kind of came before intermittent fasting for me.
Okay, so when you started fasting, if you don't mind sharing, Marilyn, what was your sort of weight looking like and when did you actually start with intermittent fasting?
Sure. So thanks, Graham. I really had heard about it in different Facebook strings, et cetera, but I didn't start it really until I read the book Delay, Don't Deny. And I remember thinking two things, that I could never drink black coffee. And who in the world eats once a day? I just thought, wow, this is something. But I started by listening to the IF Stories podcast. And so I was dabbling a little bit in intermittent fasting, but it was really not until my physical in 2019 that I hit my highest weight. And I was very upset to see a high number for me, which was ounces away from 200 pounds. And that was not a number I'd ever seen in my entire life. And I knew that the way that I was trying to do intermittent fasting clearly wasn't working and that I needed to kind of get my arms around it, if you will. So I soon changed the way that I went about it. And that's when I got my results.
So when you first started, Marilyn, what sort of fasting protocol did you start with and why did you actually choose that?
I started in the 16-8 time frame, which was recommended. And again, I was kind of dabbling with fasting in 2019. But in looking back, I really wasn't fasting clean. I think I was just on a low-calorie hot milkshake in the morning because I was still having cream in my coffee. So the reality was I think I was talking myself into thinking I was doing intermittent fasting, but I wasn't really. And I knew also that because I was a social drinker, that alcohol was delaying my progress. And so I decided after that physical that I needed to do two things. I really needed to get to clean fasting, and I needed to set alcohol aside and see if that wouldn't change the results for me.
So with the clean fasting, you're saying here that you started off with what we call dirty fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you make the switch, and how did you actually find out about the clean fast?
The way that I made the switch was, first I switched to drinking black coffee only, which I found difficult. I admit I was a creamer with my coffee kind of girl, and I kind of white knuckled it through that. But once I decided to really go clean fasting and take a break from any alcohol in January of 2020, that's when things started to really change for me. So I'm not sure I answered your question, but for me, once I truly understood the squeaky clean fasting and nothing in the coffee, right? Nothing but coffee, clean coffee and water. Then I started to see some changes happening.
Oh, that's great. So with your window, Marilyn, your sort of eating style, you just mentioned there that you restricted alcohol because you realized that you may need to delay that to get to your health goals. What was your food like in that window? Were you restricting any certain types of food, or were you just sort of generally eating whatever you craved that day?
I really didn't restrict anything. I was actually a pretty healthy eater already, Graham. But what I found, and again, I kind of divide my fasting into two times, the before, which is when I was a social drinker, and the after, which is when I had set alcohol aside. And one thing that I found was if I had alcohol in my window, it for me led to kind of binge-like behavior and longer windows and a lot of snacks and not very much in the way of results. So this is a little bit of a two-part answer, but once I started clean fasting and I took a break from alcohol, I really didn't restrict anything but that. And I saw dramatic changes pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's amazing. I talked to a lot of people that did start off by dirty fasting, and as soon as they made that switch to the clean fast, and just for people sitting out there, Marilyn, just run through with me what we call a clean fast.
Certainly. And I, you know, again, kind of scoffed at it at first, and I was a bit of a naysayer myself, but I truly am a believer that the clean fast is going to involve nothing that will trigger an insulin response. So no flavors, no additives, just black coffee, black tea, water, plain sparkling water. And I think green tea is included, although I don't drink that. And it's very important to have that because it really does turbocharge your results. Anything other than that is just a low-calorie diet.
Yeah, correct. And my view is that if you're not clean fasting, you're not really fasting. And just with the green tea, just for people out there, just make sure it's a plain green tea with no added flavors. There is a lot of added flavors in some green tea, so just be aware of that. So, Marilyn, we talk about things like appetite correction coming for us with intermittent fasting. Was that something that came for you, and sort of how long into your journey did that start?
Yes, it did. You know, I remember, again, the Facebook groups are really helpful to me because I tend to learn from other people and I learn from my own experience. But I remember reading and being amazed that people were talking about, you know, again, going to one meal a day or a snack and a meal. And it happened to me at about month four. 16:8 all of a sudden just got to be too much of a window, meaning the 8-hour eating window. I found myself not hungry at lunchtime. So I just pushed the window to mid-afternoon and I had a snack and later I had a dinner and then I was satisfied. And so I found myself very organically moving to a 19-5 window. And like you, I would have a one day on the weekends where I'd have a slightly longer window so I could have a brunch with my husband. But I really stayed at 19-5 most of 2020, and that's where most of my weight loss and inches lost occurred. Towards the end of 2020, I moved to a 24 and a 22-2, and I recently just started playing around with modified ADF, and I'm finding I really love it. So I guess my message is 68 is a great place to start, but you don't have to stay there. And I do think it's important to move your windows around and make it fit your lifestyle.
Yeah, most important, intermittent fasting does have to fit life, that's for sure. So with intermittent fasting, when you started, Marilyn, were there any struggles or things that, you know, sort of problems you had that you sort of had to work out? I mean, everybody talks about intermittent fasting, and a lot of us think it's smooth sailing, where really it's not. And often we have struggles or we miss things that we had in our life prior to sort of IF, social occasions, that type of thing. Was there anything like that for you?
I wouldn't say so much with intermittent fasting. I knew alcohol was delaying my progress, and just kind of go off in the weeds a little bit. I had heard Piper's interview with Jen, I think it was episode 51, where she talked about her decision to set alcohol aside. And I knew in my heart of hearts that was probably going to be a game changer for me. So my answer to your question about any struggles were really more to do with when I set that down. It was right after the holidays. You know, we'd had a lot of fun, lots of food and drinks and social events. And so coming down off of that wasn't the greatest. I didn't feel so well. And I definitely ate more sugar because my body was looking for the sugars that alcohol provides. But I just stuck to the 16-8 and pushed the water and kind of pushed through it. But from the fasting perspective, no, I don't think I have had any negatives from that, you know, or struggles. Mine came more with the socialization around getting together, like you've talked about, Graham, and, you know, not really wanting to miss out on things. So I learned with my fasting to try to shift my window where I could be out for dinner, as an example, and be with friends, and nobody knew the wiser that I had fasted all day, right? And honestly, most people aren't going to inspect your drink either and wouldn't realize if I'm not having an adult beverage like they are. So those were the areas where, you know, there was a tiny bit of struggle, but it was really more on the social / alcohol side, not so much the fasting side for me.
Yeah, and I always found that if I did go to a social occasion and I had some type of drink in my hand, whether it be water or sparkling water or something, nobody sort of usually inquires. I mean, a lot of people at UMI, they know that I was a party boy and a social drinker, but they also now know that most of the people I know that I've transformed my health and I lead a different lifestyle, so they don't even question it now. So it's just a matter of time as well. And I think you've got to do what's right for you and try and work out, and I really applaud you that you actually found that alcohol wasn't hindering your progress. And as soon as you sort of delayed it, so to speak, those results really started getting supercharged. But Marilyn, I know one of the strengths about your story is the non-scale victories and health benefits. And we'll just go through a few of them now. And also just take your time with this because I know it's a real strength in your story.
Oh, thank you, Graham. Well, I really do believe it. I thought about the things that are really highlights for me, and they're kind of in no particular order, but I thought these will resonate with folks that are listening, and maybe they'll say, hey, that's me too. So number one is my energy level is just off the charts. I wake up fresh. I'm ready to go. I don't have any brain fog anymore, and menopause that can be a side effect. My sleep is deep and restorative. My ability to deal with things is just so much stronger. You know, life is stressful. Things come at us every day that can challenge us, can make us frustrated, and my ability to just deal with life and day-to-day challenges is just so much better. I'm much calmer. And another kind of epiphany for me is I'm just not angry anymore. I think for me personally, alcohol fed sort of an underlying current of keeping track of things I was upset about. And I just don't have that anymore. I've let that go. Physically, I've had skin tags shrink or fall off completely. I have various surgical scars from, you know, foot surgery, a cesarean from having children. Those scars have faded. Some places I had what are called keloids. Those are an overgrowth of scar tissue, and they have shrunk or flattened and don't look so raised and angry anymore. My faith deepened, and that I do attribute to this journey. I just my walk in faith has become much more pronounced. My eyes are bright, bright green, and the whites of my eyes are very, very white. I don't have any food panic. I'm someone, Graham, that used to deal with low blood sugar issues, and I would plan my day, my trips, my meetings, my schedule around food and having a snack between meetings or before I had to do some public speaking or be in front of a group of people. And I don't do any of that anymore. I mean, I just don't even think about it. And that is so freeing. I used to pack enough snacks that could rival any squirrel. And I cleaned up my car and found, you know, little packages of protein nuggets and nuts. And I just kind of chuckled because they were all stale and I threw them all away. At the dentist, I don't have any plaque or tartar, no more bleeding in the gums. My heart rate dropped 10 points. So, you know, I feel just calmer and less stressed. I had a baseball-sized lipoma, which is a benign fatty tumor. And people can get these anywhere on their body. I had one on my back under my right shoulder blade. It didn't protrude, but it was as wide as a baseball. And it was a little bit tender. It's completely gone. It was a massage therapist had found it a few years ago. And I went back for a massage in mid-2020. And I reminded her that it was there. And she said, it's not here. It's gone. I mean, it's just amazing. I know you love shopping now, and I do too. And what's fun is clothes that I saved from many years ago not only fit, some of them that were very small then are now too big because my size has changed so much. I've developed a craving to move every day, and I just absolutely love exercise. I used to use exercise as a punishment or a way to correct bad eating. Now I move because I can and I love to. One of the things that I had happen to me on my walks that happened this summer is I would walk with my phone in my hand and I'd be listening to podcasts. And sometimes my hip, as my arm was moving, my arm would hit my hip and knock my phone out. And one day I was walking and I realized my hips fit way inside my arm's clearance zone. Like my arms are moving, but I don't hit my hips anymore because I've shrunk that much. And that was just a huge non-skill victory. At 57, I've been hot for 15 years. I get cold now. Like I know you wrote about that in your book, that you really feel the cold because you have a lot less on your body. But conversely, I can handle the hot summer days much better than I could. A couple more. I take up a lot less space in the Zoom square. As many of us are on Zoom calls, all right, that we're working from home and we're on webinars. And what I noticed is I look so much smaller, and some of my colleagues are starting to comment. I took a 90-minute meeting in a donut shop, and I never had one. That's a non-scale victory right there. And my cholesterol in 1 year dropped 48 points. I mentioned that. I am on a statin. That's because of family history. But that number was just astounding to my doctors. So those are just some highlights of some of my many non-scale victories. And I encourage folks that are listening to really do some introspection and think about everything that your body is doing and how it is healing from all the past diet damage that we may have put it through.
Yes, and you've perfectly illustrated there that intermittent fasting certainly isn't all about the weight loss. And what you just said then, it was almost like myself talking. Many of those things you described, I felt were my sort of non-scale victories. In fact, they were. Things like you mentioned, public speaking there, your dental and the bleeding of the gums and all that sort of thing. And those things changed for me as well. And I know I had a lot of phobias around my size regarding getting onto an aircraft, trying to fit in, just going to a restaurant, working out whether that seat was going to hold me or whether that booth I was going to be able to fit into it, all of those things. And I think when you're an obese person, it really, really bugs you, those things. And now that I'm not, they're things that you don't even think about, are they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just, it is truly life-changing. And sometimes we don't see it until we're not in it anymore. And we can see it looking back.
Yeah, and then when you do look back, you sort of, the longer you go with this lifestyle, I find, you just forget. And, you know, it's not till you get smacked in the face with a Facebook memory will come up or something from 4 or 5 years ago. And it just reminds you that, yeah, you were obese, but I tend to, most days now, I don't really even think about it and I just go about my life and I just love it that I'm living life as just a normal man like everybody else, nothing special about me. I'm just, you know, I just fit in and I walk down the street and I don't get those stares and sniggers anymore and all that sort of thing. And, you know, and I've talked about the treatment that obese people get compared to non-obese people. And often people will say to me, oh, that's because when you're obese, that was your aura that you were exuding, or that was your, you know, the way you carried yourself. Well, that's a load of BS, because what it is people are just damn rude, Marilyn, at times.
Yes, they can be. And, you know, there's a certain cultural, I want to say, pass that can be given to making fun of someone because of their size, right? And there is some of that out in the world, unfortunately. I haven't experienced it as much, but I certainly know that I stand differently in photos. That I'm actually in photos now. That's a difference I've noticed. And, you know, like you've talked about, Graham, now I choose the clothes instead of my size choosing the clothes. And that's really a wonderful feeling and a great, you know, celebration, right? As we live the lifestyle and we just move forward. And it's really exciting to think about where we're going to be as we go on in our lives and how we're going to choose to live really out loud.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it's actually like for a woman with the clothing side of things, because women tend to have so many choices with clothing, and it must be an absolute sort of Pandora's box that you open and you just go in and all of a sudden you're able to just get all these beautiful styles and clothes you want. And I know men's clothing is great too, but for women, it just must be an unbelievable feeling, Marilyn, just to know that you can walk into any department store or any shop you want, and you can wear some of the world's most beautiful labels and clothes anytime you want now. And that in itself is one of the greatest benefits. And I know I harp on a bit about the clothing side of things, but for me, clothing is a very, very important of sustaining your lifestyle, because once you buy those beautiful clothes and you put them in your wardrobe and then they fit you year after year as you maintain this lifestyle and your weight remains the same, that's what I find is very freeing.
Oh, definitely. And I would add to that, I mean, I know you're quite tall, gentlemen. I'm only 5'2". And so what's been a fun non-skill victory for me is that I can wear petite clothes again. And that's important because petite clothes are fit for a shorter, a smaller framed lady. And when I was heavier, those clothes didn't fit. The shirts didn't close, the jackets didn't button, right? And so just as a frame of reference, I did make a note to myself. I started in a 16 lady size US, which in the UK, I think your full UK sizes, that's a 20. And I'm down to a 10 US size right now, which is would be the equivalent of a 14 UK. So just that time frame of a year, that's almost four sizes, it does open up a tremendous amount of choices. What's interesting, though, is being remote, you know, working from home and not really out in front of colleagues and customers, et cetera, I'm not wearing those clothes. So what I've done in my transformation, Graham, is I've taken clothes that have been too big and sold them at consignment or donated them. And I really haven't bought very many professional clothes because I don't have an opportunity to wear them right now. I've bought some things to wear on Zoom calls, but mostly what I've had fun with is buying casual clothes that I can wear around my husband or my children. And I really have enjoyed going down those different sizes. But again, I'm still shopping in consignment because I know my body's still changing. And to your point that you mentioned earlier, there'll be a point I get to goal or get to where my body wants to maintain. And those numbers may be different, and that's okay. And I think that's when I'll probably going on a pretty big shopping spree.
Yeah, and why not? Why not indeed? So let's talk about mindset for a minute, Marilyn, something that very dear to my heart, and I believe this whole journey is 95% mental. How did you sort of train your mindset, and what sort of things do you do daily or weekly to sort of work on that?
Well, that's a great question. Well, I will say, you know, I was and am a wife, you know, a mom, a sister, a friend, a coworker, and I'm somebody who by my own choice did a lot for everyone else, and I always have. And eventually I just kind of burned out, and I realized I had to put myself on that to-do list that I'd been carrying around for 30 some years. And, you know, self-care is not selfish. And, you know, putting aside the, you know, the tragedy of the pandemic and all of the suffering that has happened as a result of it, I kind of took advantage of the stay-at-home orders and decided that, listen, the time is going to pass anyway. So I figured, why not just really give this a go? And I was already doing intermittent fasting, and I was alcohol-free when the lockdown started here for us, which was March of 2020. But, you know, that put the brakes on my travel for work, being in front of people, being in the office. And I thought, I'm just going to use this time to really work on myself. So I kind of turned it around, Graham, and said, I'm going to make this into something positive. And, you know, something that's really helped me, and I do go back to it, and I have a pretty vivid imagination, but it's kind of fun to think of it this way, is every time the scale or the measuring tape doesn't behave the way I think it should, and, you know, we all have these ideas in our head of what we think something should be, I had to stop myself and just know that with every single fast, I was giving my body the opportunity to heal. And so what I started doing was picturing, like, as if I had an internal army of intermittent fasting soldiers who were hard at work cleaning and scrubbing and building and repairing all the debris from, for me, all my past diet nonsense. And all I needed to do really was just create that opportunity every single day, just fast. Every single day. Some days were longer than others. Some days were shorter. Some days I made better food choices, whatever. But if I just did that every day, put myself on my own to-do list and get out of the way and do the fast and just keep going, that things would happen. And they do.
Yeah, and it's that point of loving yourself first, which is a very key thing for everybody out there. Because if you can't learn to love yourself, how on earth are you going to send that love out to everything else you do, including looking after your own body and your health? And I found that once I started finding that love for myself, and not in an egotistical way or the love that you have for your wife or your children, but in the way that you start thinking more positively about yourself and those affirmations. And what you said there about the visualization is also really important. And I know when people come to me for help, The first question I ask them is, what does life look like for you without this weight? And they'll say things like, oh, you know, I've always wanted to do bungee jumping, or I've always wanted to hike, you know, go on these big trail hikes, but I haven't been able to, or I've wanted to go on a helicopter, but they wouldn't let me because I was too heavy. So when they visualize all these things, what life's going to be like for me, I'm going to be wearing that new suit, or I'm going to be going on that dream adventure. Really, really important. I love that you talked about the soldiers cleaning out the cell and scrubbing away all those diet mentalities of the past and just rejuvenating yourself. And I think that's so important. And I think that's something that people can really take away from this episode. And I think Marilyn's just given you one of the best gems I've heard. So Marilyn, also, what about friends and family and the support networks that you've had? Has that been pretty smooth sailing for you? You haven't got too much kickback. I guess you haven't seen that many people being in lockdown as well.
Yes, and thank you, first of all, for that feedback. I appreciate that, and I agree with you. You do need to love yourself, and I think it's, you know, self-care is not selfish, and I think it's important to put ourselves on our own to-do list. So in terms of support, yes, my husband has always been supportive of me and my many health adventures and interests. And I'm someone who goes all in and reads all about the latest, newest thing. And then he has to listen to it because I'll bombard him, right? I'll tell him all about it. But he's also watched me be disappointed when whatever restrictive diet I did, what, you know, didn't work. And so I think he was cautious, but supportive, but quiet. But the happy news is he sees my efforts. He sees my results, and he's proud of me no matter what I do, but he tells me so. And he knows I'm very determined. And my two sons are also watching, and they listen. And the best part is that they listen to me and they follow along in their own way. And most of all, I'm really proud of the fact that they, my children, know me as someone who's always trying, who's always learning, always growing. And we're a very close family, my boys and their wives, my daughters-in-law. And they all cheer me just as loudly as I do for them. And so I really have a great support network with my family. To your point, we haven't had a lot of social outings. And I haven't really brought it up. When I've been out with people, most of the folks we know don't know anything about what I'm doing. I just have kept it on the down low. And I thought if they want to know, they'll ask what I'm doing. So that's kind of where I've left it.
I can't wait to talk to you again in 6 to 12 months' time, because that's very important for us here on the Fasting Highway. We intend to follow up our guests with where are they now and that sort of thing segments. But imagine when you go and start traveling again and you start delivering your, you know, your talks for work and that sort of thing. People are just going to say, what on earth has happened to you? You know, you look so amazing, and then it's going to be incredible. And I think that then is the opportunity to have that conversation and say, well, you know, because I found that's what happened to me too. It wasn't until the fact that I'd really lost a lot of weight that people started saying to me, wow, you look great. What are you actually doing? And once I explained it to them, I found people started getting interested. So that might be an opportune time for you to really start sharing your journey then, I guess.
Oh, I agree. And you know, like you've said, and I've seen you share this feedback with folks in the groups, is let your results do the talking, right? And, you know, folks will ask. And I think that'll be exciting to be out again when things open up, and hopefully that'll be soon, that our world returns to normal as we know it.
Yeah, I can't imagine how tough that's been, Marilyn, being in lockdown for that long. Sort of a lot of people struggle, as we know. We see that in the groups. They're saying, you know, that they can't handle their weights going up and all that sort of thing. But to me, this unprecedented time has given us that opportunity to do exactly what you did, take stock of where we're at, take stock of our health, start learning about loving ourselves first and turning that negative of being in the lockdown to a positive. And I'm not really sure, I guess it's more stress, I guess. And I mean, I can't really talk about the stressful side of COVID, because here in Australia, we haven't really had that. We haven't had the high death rates. We haven't had the high cases. But for you guys there, I can't imagine how stressful life is. And so how have you coped with those sort of mechanisms? And you obviously have.
Well, thanks, Graham. Yeah, it's been stressful, you know, not, it's on everything, our infrastructure, everyone who works, you know, in any kind of capacity, supporting critical infrastructure, which I do. I'm not in medical, but I'm in connectivity. That's the kind of work that I do. So there's a high demand, and it doesn't stop. And, you know, then to add to it, you know, there were periods of time that we couldn't see our children. My father-in-law is in hospice care, and we can't see him. So, you know, some of those things are very, very tough. But, you know, that old saying, and it sounds a little corny, but it is true. You have to control the things you can control, and you have to try to let go of the rest. But one of the ways that I've helped my way through it is I started walking for stress relief early in the lockdowns, for us was late March of 2020. And what started as just kind of a way to get out of the house and take a walk in the neighborhood and get away from my computer for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, has morphed into an hour a day and something that I really crave doing. I love to walk and listen to podcasts. I wave to the kitties in the window. I visit the neighbor dogs that I know along the way. And I get out into the fresh air and the sunshine, or right now it's winter, and so it might be out in the snow. But, you know, this opportunity has brought me back to something that I had forgotten that I loved, which was, as a child, I absolutely loved being outside. I was all day outside. And so just going for my daily walks and getting out into nature and fresh air and sunshine or wind or whatever it might be, it's just been so soul restoring for me. And I literally transformed from someone that I mentioned earlier. I would use exercise almost as a way to punish myself or compensate for bad food choices. And I've shifted now to someone who craves that movement. I absolutely love it. I find it just so invigorating. And, you know, yes, sometimes I call it the daily stomp because I might be frustrated with something, but I put on a podcast, your podcast, which I love, Jin's podcast, the IF stories. Maybe I have some spiritual, inspirational podcasts that I love. And I always come back feeling better. So that's really, really helped me through the stress of the whole pandemic situation.
Yeah, I think it's so great now we have this digital footprint out there that not only can we combine things like exercise, but we can also educate ourselves while we're actually doing it now, which is what I love. I mean, you can listen to podcasts or you can listen to audio books, which is a exploding phenomenon out there. And the other thing is I just started listening to a thing called Clubhouse, which is a new social media platform where it's basically like LinkedIn, but by audio, where you have all these people just discussing things and various topics and so forth. And I find that quite fascinating. So there's, you know, lots of things you can do, but then there's days too, where I just take the headphones off and I just listen to the birds and what's going on around me. I think that's important to do that too. And I know we all spend a lot of time on social media, and I'm probably more guilty of that than most people. And I'm sort of thinking I'm going to have to take sort of maybe a one day a week, 24 hour block where I don't go on social media or look at my screen, just to have that break away from it. And I think that's going to be the next evolvement in my journey. And so do you sort of do that, Marilyn, take a step back from social media a bit and give yourself a bit of a break?
I do. Yeah, I do. And I will say, when I walk, like you, sometimes I just like the silence. I can be very extroverted in my professional role, but I'm truly an introvert. So I need the quiet and the lack of chaos to kind of recharge. And so lots of times I'll walk in the quiet. I also love to read, and I do take breaks from social media. I typically am not on it in the evenings too much, maybe till about 7-8 o'clock in the evening. And then I get away from it and I don't have the television on. I will just read for a few hours in the quiet. And that's really been helpful for me. I get what you're saying, and I can imagine running a group and mentoring folks and then doing the podcast that there's probably a lot of people pulling on you, which is very, you know, flattering, and you're a wonderful resource, but you also have to take care of you too. And I do think it's important that, you know, we have guardrails and we learn to step away. That's something even working at home that I've had to learn. One thing about working at home is it's always there. So if I'm not careful, I could work all weekend. I could work every evening. And I've had to close my laptop down, mute my phone, and step away because, you know, the demand is very high. And I'm not going to be any good to anyone if I run out of gas. So I have to step back and do some self-care like you described.
Yeah, and that's when you can do the mindset sort of exercises and that sort of thing and work on that and just do other things that aren't connected to social media, which you can really apply to your intermittent fasting journey. So, Marilyn, I just wanted to talk to you about your doctors and that sort of thing. And since you've been your transformation, have you gone and had things like blood results, or have you had any meetings with your doctors? Are they on board with what you're doing, or?
Yes, actually, my doctor, I just had my physical in December, so I had 1 year between the highest weight and, you know, a 32-pound weight loss when I saw her in December of 2020, and she was just gobsmacked at the results, and especially at my blood work. As I mentioned earlier, my cholesterol, overall cholesterol, came down 48 points, and my triglycerides, which is something that I didn't realize doesn't really respond to medication so much. She told me that's completely diet and lifestyle, meaning I'm not on a diet, but what I'm eating. My triglycerides came down 37 points. And that, you know, for my age, for being postmenopause with a low functioning thyroid, she literally gave me a high five in my appointment. So that was quite fun. And her notes to me, and she gave me a copy of it, was keep doing what you're doing, because I'm really impressed that you have completely changed your health trajectory. And I think you're going to continue to just slay it. So really good feedback at the doctor's office, which I was thrilled about.
So Marilyn, you also mentioned there about the scale, and something I haven't asked you yet. Do you weigh daily, or how do you weigh yourself, or do you weigh yourself, or do you just let sort of your clothes do that?
No, I do weigh daily. I found that via the group, the Happy Scale app, and I absolutely love that because the Happy Scale app takes the data you give it, and it does kind of a projection, and it follows your trends. And I really accredit that app to kind of curing my weird relationship with the scale. Before the scale, because I'm someone that goes up and down, and I often, Graham, will go down, 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 up. So if I didn't have that app, I'd probably get frustrated and stop, or, you know, eat too much or not eat enough or whatever. But yes, I do weigh every day. I do track it. And I like to kind of keep close tab on where I'm at. Like you, I think, you know, 3 to 5 pounds could come on quickly. And I don't know that I would necessarily feel it, especially working at home right now and not wearing, you know, fitted dress slacks or a skirt. And so I want to know if something's changing. Now, the flip side of that is I'm not obsessed about it. If I'm away from home and I can't weigh, it's not a big deal to me. But yes, I do weigh, and I've been able to make it just information now and not emotional. And I think that's been a really positive shift change for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same as you, Marilyn, when it comes to the scale, and I have that same sort of philosophy. But anyway, we're out of time now. I just wanted to quickly thank you for your support of the Fasting Highway Facebook group. You're an inspiring member, and you do a lot of work in there helping people and giving some insights into your journey. So thank you for that, and really much appreciated, and I've loved talking to you today. Marilyn Passmore, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway. Oh, thank you so much, Marilyn. I really enjoyed that chat with you. Inspiring, absolutely amazing. Those non-scale victories blew my mind. There's so many of them. Anyway, when we got more time one day, I'd love to go over with them in more detail with you, because I think that people need to remember that it isn't just about the weight loss, but as Marilyn described there, the non-scale victories and the health benefits are equally up there as well. So coming up next week, we've got the amazing Jimmy Depman, and Jimmy is a very inspiring guy, and Jimmy has really good handle on the intermittent fasting lifestyle. He's been living it now for some 3 years, and he's now in maintaining mode, and Jimmy is a real shining light. So don't miss his insights next week, Jimmy Depman. Until then, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.